If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 25. When I was sitting up here on the platform, Brother Decker seen my notes and he said, "Oh my, we're going to be here all day." Well, no, you're not going to be here all day. It just proves I've done a lot of studying last night and this morning. But by the help of the Lord, very serious message. We trust that there'll be no running in and out unnecessarily. We want God to have his way in this part of the service. Title of the message is, "Who are you in light of eternity?" Who are you in light of eternity? Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 31 and concluding down to verse 46. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least my brethren, you've done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, ye clothed me not, and in prison ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." First of all, before I preach, I want to give honor to the Trinity. I want to give honor to my fellow pastor brethren and to Brother Decker, who I consider my spiritual father. In this message this morning, God is speaking to us. Every one of us are facing this serious occasion someday. At the end of time, Jesus will sit upon his throne on that day. And there will be a great separation forever. He is going to have the final say on that day. Jesus Christ will be fair with every soul that stands before him on that day. He'll be no respecter of persons. He is no respecter of persons. You're not going to be able to make any deals with him on that day. What is decided is going to be decided on that day. And what a sad condition for those that are not going to be on the sheep side. The question is, my friend, three questions or three classifies of people that in the light of eternity, where do you stand in one of these classes? The believer. Are you a believer? The saved. Are you going to be the one that hears the Lord say on that day, Come. Amen. Come and be blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come. Oh, what a great day that's going to be, saints, if we're right with God and we stand before him and we hear him say, Come and be blessed. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Looking forward to that day when I stand before him and hear him say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. We're going to be on the sheep side if we're born again. We have to be born again. had to be washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Are you a believer of the saved? Are you an unbeliever or a backslider? That's the ones that's going to hear the Lord say, depart. And then there's the third class, the make believers, the hypocrites. The hypocrites are people in the church that profess to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They profess to have a relationship with Him, but they do not possess what they profess. A lot of them are gossipers. They talk about people. They get on the phone and they give their opinions about people, and they gossip and talk and talk. And what they don't realize is on that day, God's going to hold them accountable for that gossiping. That old gossiping, nagging tongue is going to go before God one of these days and give an account. Those gossipers are going to be in that classified as make-believers, fault finders, finding fault with everything the pastor does, finding fault with people in the church, in the congregation that does their best to serve God, always finding fault. You know what we ought to do on the outside of our congregations? We ought to put a sign on our front door that says, come in without knocking and go out the same way. Amen. Those that are worldly in dress and in attitude, worldliness creeping in to our congregations across the land. Worldliness, attitude. I'll do what I want. Nobody's going to tell me how I can dress. Nobody's going to tell me how I'm going to live. Not even God. They're going to find themselves in that hypocrite. Church bosses. We got a lot of church bosses in a lot of congregations. They try to tell the pastor how to preach. They try to tell the pastor how to run the church. And it's none of their business between him and God how he runs the congregation. We got a lot of church bosses that are going to split hell wide open one of these days because they've caused trouble in the church. They've caused drama in the church. And yet they'll go right on and say, I love the Lord. Hallelujah. And they'll praise God and glorify Him with their mouth, but their heart is far from Him because they're a church boss. Friend, if you're a church boss this morning, you need to come down to the mourner's bench and ask God to forgive you and ask God to help you to get that bossy attitude out, because it'll ruin a church. It'll close churches. I've been in a church that they had a church boss, had two or three of them, and that church is closed today because of the problems that they caused. But you know what? On that day, God's going to hold them accountable. He's not going to forget what's happened in the past. I promise you that tonight. Preacher killers. That's what kills our preachers, is church bosses and people that cause problems in the church. Causes division, discord. Going among the brethren and saying, did you know what so-and-so said about you? You know what I heard about you? And then they go tell the other person how he reacted. And before you know it, you've got chaos in the congregation. And God's word is against that. It says that's one of the things that He hates, is discord among the brethren. In that crowd, there'll be many that have sown discord in our congregations and caused trouble and caused division and strife. Yet they claim they love the Lord. Well, you know what, friends? If we love the Lord, we're not going to do things like that. We're not going to gossip. We're not going to backbite. That's another group of people that's going to be in trouble on that day, the backbiters. Talk good to your face, and then behind your back, they bring up your faults and the things that you do that they don't like. Backbiters. God's word is against that, contrary to God's word. Jesus will say to the saved, come, be blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation. Oh, saints of God, this is what He's going to tell us. He's going to remind each and every one of us those times that you were going down the road and you saw a panhandler, or you maybe somebody approached you at some place you're shopping and say, I'm hungry. I haven't ate for a few days. Is there anything you can do for me? Is there something you can do for me? And out of compassion, you give to that person, or maybe you take them out somewhere and give them a meal. And you feed them. God is keeping a record of that. And He ain't going to forget that on that day. And that's why the Christian people is going to say, well, Lord, when did we do all this? Why is that, Brother Featherstone? Because we forget. We humans forget what we've done. But you know what? God's got it on record, what we've done. I was hungry. Remember that time you gave and fed that individual? God's going to bring that up on that day. Maybe you gave food to a family they got laid off work, or they had a fire and you had compassion upon them and you gave them food or give children a meal. You fed somebody somewhere along the line. God's not going to forget that. Anytime you bought somebody a pop or a drink, when it says, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. You gave somebody a drink that was thirsty, whether it be water or whatever else it was. You had a kind heart and you gave to that individual, and God did not forget that. Amen. And he's not going to forget that. Maybe that when he said, I was a stranger and you took me in, who was homeless? You either let them stay with you or you paid a motel bill for them to have a place to stay for a while. There's Christians across this land that does things like that, that have a kind heart, and they find someone in need in that situation, and they've given and given from time to time. But God has not forgotten that. And on that day when we stand before him, we might forget what we've done, but God has not forgotten. Maybe you've met somebody that needed clothing. Their clothes wasn't all that great. And you had a heart of compassion toward them, and you came to them and said, let me take you to the store, and you bought the things that they needed. God sees that. I was naked and you clothed me. God sees that, friends, and that will be counted on your behalf. He said, I was sick. You visited hospital rooms. You were faithful in going to hospital rooms. You were faithful in maybe going to nursing homes or wherever else people were sick. Maybe they're home. Maybe there's some shut-ins from your congregation, and you've went and visited them and tried to encourage them and try to lift them up and let them know that you care. God sees that, and that will count on your record when you stand before him and he says, I was sick and you visited me. I could just see the smile of Jesus as he's bringing these things up to the Christian. You visited those in jail and in prison. You took time to care. You know, people don't care what we got to say or what we believe. It's if we show we care. We show we love them. That's what the world's looking for. The saints will ask Jesus about these things. When did we do these things? And he's got it all written down. And he will remind us and show us the things that he's pleased with. Why? Because we've forgotten. We're human. We forget. But I'm glad this morning that God does not forget. And he will bring it up. And then there's another class called the unsaved. The backslider will hear Jesus say on that day, and so will the hypocrite. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You will be a goat on the side of the goats on that day, because you told that person that was a panhandler, get a job, you bum. Go out and find work. Don't ask me for help. Or maybe there was somebody came to you and said, I'm hungry. I haven't ate for a few days. And maybe you were those of you that had an attitude and you said, leave me alone. I don't care. Go get a job. Go find something to do. You didn't have compassion upon them. And friends, I'm going to warn you today, God's keeping a record and he's looking on. He's watching our life, watching what we do. And those that are not saved, those that are backslid, he's watching the attitudes of our heart, the hearts of the people. Maybe you told hurting people that you don't have time for them. I can't help you. You didn't give the thirsty a drink. You didn't give the thirsty a drink. When you had the means to help homeless people or anyone else that had a need, and you had it to be able to give, and your heart was hardened toward that individual. God keeps a record of that, friends, and he knows exactly your attitude. And our attitudes are going to get us in trouble one of these days with God. There's going to be a lot of people miss heaven because of their attitude. They're going to find themselves in a devil's hell because of their attitude. Friends, attitude's very important. May God help us, even as Christian people, those of us that know God, help us with our attitudes, that we will stand with clean hands and a pure heart. Maybe that individual, like I said, had a fire. The Bible says, and you didn't help him. 1 John 3:17 says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother or sister have need and shut up his bowels, means feelings of compassion, from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? When we say we love God, we're supposed to be like Jesus, friends. We're supposed to act like Jesus. We're supposed to have compassion like Jesus. No, we cannot be perfect in the flesh. We can never be perfect, but we can strive to be like Jesus. We can try to follow his example and put ourselves in his shoes. What would Jesus do if he was in my situation? How would he handle it? How would he help? What would he do for the individuals? But many times people do what they want. And they harden their heart. And God's word tells us, how can you have the love of God in you if you not have the compassion that you need to have? When you saw the need of someone needing clothing, and you had the money, you had the resources, but you took the attitude, let someone else help them. You saw the individual, they didn't have nice clothes. They didn't have their clothing's about rent. And you look on that individual and you're thinking, well, some other, they've got the Salvation Army. They've got these other places. But you could have helped. And God will hold accountable one of these days. When you had the opportunity to visit the sick or those that are locked up in prison or jail, and you found excuses not to visit them. You know, people, if they don't want to do something, they'll find all kinds of excuses. When they don't want to go to church, they'll call the pastor and tell them they got a toe ache. They'll call the pastor and tell them any old thing to get him off their back. Pastor, I can't make it today. I don't feel well. And I'm not saying everybody's that way. There is people that are generally sick. There is people that have got some physical situations. But I'm talking about those that don't want to go to church. And they'll call the pastor and find little any old excuse not to go to the house of God. Any excuses. People do what they want to do nowadays. They find excuse not to help those that are locked up, those that are sick. They don't want to go visit them. They don't have time. James chapter 4 and verse 17 tells us, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know to do good and don't do it, you're sinning against God. It's good to read God's holy word. We ought to, as Christians, we ought to want to read God's holy word. But if we don't read it, we're in trouble. We need God's word. You might say, well, I've been a Christian for many years. You still need the word. It's good to pray. Jesus said, pray without ceasing. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. Now, I know we can't be on our knees 24 hours a day, but we need to be in the attitude of prayer. In the attitude of prayer throughout the day, wherever you may be. You can pray without praying on your knees. You can talk to God in your car, wherever you're at. He said, pray without ceasing. It's good to pray. But if you're not praying, you're sinning, because it's good to pray. It's good to encourage and help others. But if you're not doing that, what I just read to you, if you don't do good, you sin. If you know to do good and do it not, to him it's sin. It's good to go to church. We need to be in the house of God. We need one another. We need one another in these last days. So much the more as we see the day approaching. We need one another to draw strength from one another, to draw encouragement from one another. I don't care how long you've been serving God. You still need us and we still need you. Amen. We've got folks that find all kinds of excuses not to do things that God wants them to do. Kind of reminds me of that old song, excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. The devil will supply you if the church will stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. He'll offer excuses. The devil's good about that, friends. He'll offer you excuses to do what you know is right. And if you're not a child of God this morning, if you're not saved, and an altar call is being given, the devil will give you excuses not to get saved. We need to ignore those excuses and tell the devil, go bury his head in the sand. When I read this scripture one day, a long time ago, I asked God one time, why are these people going to be turned away from heaven? Everything looks good, Lord. They preach in your name. They cast out devils. Let's look over to Matthew chapter 7. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. You know, it amazes me at funerals how everyone's going to heaven. You go to funerals and everyone's going to heaven. They could live as wicked could be, and people still say they're in a better place. Well, I want to tell you, friends, not everybody makes it to heaven. That's a lie from hell. That's a lie from Satan. He tells us in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I asked the Lord one day. I said, Lord, everything looks good. They're prophesying in your name. They're doing wonderful works. They're casting out devils. They're doing all these wonderful things. Why are they going to miss heaven? And he spoke to me and he said, how do they live outside the church when they're not in worshiping? How do they act out there in the world? How do they live? It's, you know, God has an all-seeing eye, and he knows exactly how all of us are when we leave the church building, when we leave his house. God sees the whole picture. You can fool the preacher. You can fool your other, those in the congregation, but you're not fooling God. My father told me one time, son, there's an eye up on high watching you. An eye up on high watching you. Dad also told me, not all actors come out of Hollywood. And how true that is when it comes to hypocrites. Not all actors come out of Hollywood. There's an eye up on high watching. He sees everything. There's nothing you can hide from him. There's nothing that he'll ignore. He's watching your life. He's watching my life. The three questions in closing are for you to ponder on. Are you a believer? Are you in that class of people that you're going to hear the Lord say, come be blessed. Come be blessed. Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, like I said earlier, that's going to be a wonderful time when the saints hear that. Going to be a relief to hear him say, come in, come in. Are you going to be in that number? Are you a believer? Or are you an unbeliever? Never been saved, never been born again. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. You have to have the blood of Jesus Christ to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, he didn't say you should be born again. He didn't say you ought to be born again. He said ye must be born again. And that's how you become an unbeliever. Take the unbeliever title off and become a believer, is to come and pray and confess your sins and repent and ask God to forgive you and purpose in your heart, I'm done with sin. I'm done. You know, there's going to be a crowd also that they think because they've got saved, they're always saved and they can just live any old way they want to live. But they're going to be surprised on that day. Oh my. And some of the preachers that's taught them this is going to be held accountable. Their blood will be on their hands. There's going to be a lot of blood on preachers' hands for what they've told the people. You say, Brother Featherstone, I've been saved 60 years. I got saved 60 years ago. Well, that's great. But how is it this morning? How is it this morning? Have you drifted and gotten lean in your heart? You'd be surprised how many people got saved however so long ago, but they've got caught up in a drift. Our churches, our congregations are being caught up in a drift. That's why we're seeing a lot of worldliness sweep this way. It's because of the drift. The drift is on. And if you're not careful, you can be caught away in the drift. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. Don't ever think it's not going to happen to me. I love God too much. Because the devil's the deceiver and he can deceive us if we're not careful. That's why we need to keep praying. That's why we need to keep reading our Bible and drawing nigh to God and being close to God so that we do not become deceived by the enemy of our soul. Amen forever. That's why we need prayer. That's why we need our Bible reading. So when the devil comes around, we know what the word says. Amen. I remember one time I was working at a village pantry. And my boss told me to go in. I made sandwiches back then. She told me to go in the cooler, and they had a first in, first out. You had to put the old stuff in front. And as I walked in, to my left, I saw bottles of beautiful wine. And the devil, I never had a problem with alcohol. I drank a little when I was younger, not anything amount to anything. I'm ashamed of that now. But the devil jumped on my shoulder and said, "You ought to take one of them. Look at how pretty that is. You ought to buy one of them and take them out and drink it." I said, "Satan, the Bible says that wine is a mocker, a strong drink, and he soever is deceived thereby is not wise. It also says don't look upon the wine when it's red." I'm so glad, friends, I had the word of God hidden in my heart. So when the devil came, I was able to combat him with the word of God. That's why it's important to have your children learn scriptures. That's why it's important for you and I to learn scriptures, so that when the devil comes, he'll not be able to deceive us and talk us into sinning. I'm so glad that I knew the word of God that day. And I said, "No, thank you." He said, "Well, Timothy, Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake." I said, "Yeah, but get thee behind me. Get on out the road. I don't want to hear it." Why? Because I was established in the word of God. I knew the Bible. I knew what it said. Friends, that's how you defeat the enemy with God's help, is learn the word. Get it right in here. Get it in your heart, so that when the devil comes around, don't care if you've been saved 60 years, you can still be deceived. Have you drifted? How is it today with your heart? Is your heart right with God still? Have you maintained the victory these past, however long you've been saved? Are you walking in the light of God now? You started out right. And there's many that have started out right, but they finished in tragedy. They've shipwrecked their salvation. Some of them are not in heaven this morning because of it. It's not what we were back then, but how are we now? How are we now? It's wonderful you got saved back yonder. But oh, we got to keep the victory, friends. We got to maintain what God has given us. We've got to keep on the firing line. We got to keep the fire and the glory on our souls if we want to make heaven our home. We got to continue being obedient to the things of God if we want to make heaven our home. It's wonderful you got saved back then. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 3b says, "And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be." Revelations 22:11 says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." If you and I leave this tabernacle and die of a heart attack or something happens to us and we go out into eternity, how we are right now is how we're going to be in eternity. Forever and forever. If you've got unfinished business with God, I would advise you, come and pray and seek the face of God. It don't even hurt to ask God to search me, O Lord, and know my thoughts. Search me, O Lord. Is there anything in my life that maybe I've slipped along the way? Folks, I'd rather find out about how I am with God right now than to wait until I pass away and be shocked, thinking I had the victory when I didn't have the victory. It never hurts to be certain about things. Many people have assumed they still got victory. And the devil has taken advantage of them because they let him. It's not what we say. It's what we really are that really counts for God. Not what we say. Actions speak louder than words, friends. If you're a goat this morning, there's an altar to come and pray. God can take that title, the goat, off of you and put the name sheep on you. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? And if you're backslid this morning, he can place the kiss of reconciliation on your brow and make you a child of God again. Bring you back into the church of God again. I'm glad we got a God that he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Praise God forever and forever. I'm so glad he came knocking on my door when I walked away. When I got in trouble, he was there all the time, waiting patiently in love. I'm so glad, friends, that he did not throw the clay away. A vessel of honor I am today, all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. A vessel of honor you are that are child of God this morning, because God did not throw the clay away. Sheep don't fall for anything. But you know what? An old goat will eat anything you give it. They'll eat paper. They'll eat whatever they can get a hold of. But a child of God that's a Christian, a child of God that's a sheep, don't fall for every little thing comes along. But the goat will. And that's what's going to cause the goat, those people on that day, to lose their soul. Because they did not take heed to the word of God. We're going to be judged by the word of God one of these days. We're going to stand before the Lord one of these days. Us preachers are going to be judged for what we preached down through the years. That's why it's kind of scary to get behind the sacred desk, realizing it's an awesome responsibility. We ministers have people in our hands for eternity. And I trust this morning that this message has touched you and helped you in some way. Friends, we must make it. We must make it to heaven. It's not the one who runs the swiftest, nor the one who shines for a day, but it's the one who endureth to the end. He shall be saved. Amen. He shall be saved. Praise God. Let us stand as I give an invitation. If you have a need this morning, come and let God have right away.